and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. What do you know about vertical integration? Well, it turns out it's a trend that probably any HME professional should know a lot about. And to learn more about it, I talked to Laura Willard of AA Home Care at MedTrade West. Let's dive in and hear what she had to say. Hey there, this is Dave Cuff, HME Business, and I'm here at MedTrade West, and I'm talking to Laura Willard. She's the Vice President of Payer Relations. Laura, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm having a great show, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a good show. I really enjoyed doing the AA Home Care update with you guys earlier this morning. I thought that was well received.
Yeah, I think it went. I've heard a lot of positive comments about the new format and what we're doing. It's not really new anymore, but some people, it's the first time they've seen it, and they've enjoyed it. So
yeah,
thank you for doing that for us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And because of COVID, that's right. It's like the first time we tried it was in Vegas in 2020, and then the world stopped doing stuff.
Exactly.
And then the whole, like, coming out of COVID has been, like, real fits and starts. Although I think now, I think we're kind of getting back to normal.
Yeah, it seems to be. All the shows I've been to seem to be picking up, and people are starting to get back to normal, and business is starting to operate as normal from my perspective, other than the issues we're having around supply chain and, you know, all of the advocacy things we're working on.
Which is never normal.
Full throttle.
So, well, let's talk about that. One thing that you mentioned in this morning's update was vertical integration, and that is a terrific topic because it's one that I've heard a lot of people talk about over the years, but I don't think that everybody in the industry necessarily has wrapped their heads around it entirely. Let's start with a definition of terms. When you're talking about vertical integration as a trend in healthcare and in our industry, what are you talking about?
So the vertical integration is really what's happening from a payer or a healthcare system perspective, where there's a lot of common ownership that's occurring and happening and putting all of the healthcare services under one umbrella. And a trend that we've seen is with some of the payers getting all of the healthcare services underneath their own umbrella. And so that to me is what true vertical integration is from a payer perspective. You've seen it's been happening with hospital systems and the mergers for many, many years now, where they're merging together and they're bringing together. They have the labs under there. They have the physical therapists. They have different healthcare aspects under the hospital realm. And it's happening now with the payers. And so that's really how I define vertical integration, is how they are going to be servicing patients under their beneficiaries under their payer umbrella.
Okay. And how does this reach the shores of HME? How does this impact HME providers?
It's, you know, we've been watching this very closely. And I did perform a kind of a environmental scan around vertical integration. I said, I want to see what the landscape of these payers are and what are they looking at? Where does it seem to be their trend is going? And we saw some that said, okay, my trend is I'm going to build my Medicaid managed care business. And so we've seen some of that happening, normal stuff, Medicare Advantage business happening. But, you know, there's been a few interesting things. Humana has really developed an in-home department. They have an in-home division for Humana. They've been working on this for several years, and they actually have executives that lead this that want to take care of patients in the home. And recently they purchased One Home Care in Florida, who is a third-party administrator who also has their own home health agency and HME company. And so they're getting all of these in-home services under their umbrella, where they can take care and manage them with their own entities. And so we need to know what's happening, and so we can have the right conversations with them and with other payers to remain relevant with that patient population.
Gotcha. So it's not necessarily that we're expecting competition, it's just that the decision-making tree and the structure of the contract relationships, or not contract, but referral relationships might change.
They could, yes, and it could be, there is probably going to be some competition there because as we've seen with blurred lines, the blurred distribution lines have been occurring for quite some time. I mean, if they own their own home health agency or their own HME company, they're going to refer them to themselves. And so they're going to provide the services to their own company. So there is some competition there that will be there for the DME industry.
It's almost like a hospital owning its own HME, but on a much grander scale.
It is, absolutely.
So, and that's interesting because I'm just thinking back, Owens Mill, Owens Mill just bought
Apria.
Mm-hmm. And Apria was entered into that one deal with Humana, mm-hmm. where they were trying to set up an exclusive relationship.
Yeah, they had it for many, many years.
Okay,
so there were certain areas and buckets of the country where they had to add on to their network, and eventually they started letting more people in just based on the need for, I think, some of the rural areas and maybe some of the decisions made for where locations were going to be provided and serviced there at Apria. So I think they just found a need to have a little bit more of an expanded network just based on access at that point.
Gotcha. Okay, so I guess the question is can we still have, looking at that, maybe not as a one-to-one example, an apples-to-apples example, but just something to think about, can we have something similar in a healthcare environment with vertical integration where we can still have a diversity of providers, and if so, how do we make sure that we secure that?
Yeah, absolutely. So from my perspective, and this is where value-based care comes in, because they all kind of interconnect. So we're talking about vertical integration and what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we can do for those payers is provide some value-based services and value-based contracts and really move into that realm as an industry and create those clinically based outcomes that helps reduce costs for the payer and helps improve the outcomes for the patients at that point in time. So that's how those two things interconnect together. So as an industry, we've got to stay relevant with them by having the conversations on what they're looking for from a payer perspective. You know, why would you go buy your own HME company? What can we do and how can we partner with you to be there and be your network of providers there? And so you don't have to manage that as a piece of that.
Gotcha. And now you had mentioned during the AA Home Care update that you're kind of working on a vertical integration project. Tell us more about that. What are you guys doing to kind of, it sounds like you're trying to help steer things, but I'll let you explain it.
Yeah, we are. And part of my vision always has been with the Payer Relations Council at AA Home Care is that we're looking into the future. You know, we deal with a lot of day-to-day issues, but let's be prepared for the future. And so this is part of that in making sure that we're looking a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road, and we're prepared to really be part of larger conversations around the healthcare continuum. And so we do have a subcommittee of that Payer Relations Council that has formed our vertical integration subcommittee, and we're meeting with payers and discussing with them what they see a need or what they need from HME partner and how we could be more of a partner with them. So we're doing, that's one of the first steps, and gathering information from some of these payers. So we're doing that piece. We've created a scorecard, and we are having demos with companies out there that already have some of these value-based platforms out there and available.
Hmm.
So we could take a look at those and say, okay, what is positive about this? What are we looking for as an industry? What could we potentially go and talk to a payer about? Is there an opportunity to partner there? Is there an opportunity to educate the industry on what's out there and available? And so that's kind of the goal of that committee. So we're doing all of these demos on these companies that have these platforms, some that are creating the platforms,
mm-hmm.
And some that may not be. We're having a meeting with Change Healthcare, who is more of a known for clearinghouse and electronic type of things, and they don't really have a platform, but those types of conversations can always advance the industry, maybe not in vertical integration, but maybe in other ways. So we're trying to uncover every potential opportunity for the industry from a vertical integration, value-based care. We're looking at remote patient monitoring and what's out there for that. And then out of this subcommittee, we'll have some companies we feel like are have some opportunity to work with providers. We'll do some education for providers to understand how they can be in value-based care, How can you do it? How can you do it and make sure that it's economically sound for you to be able to be in that? Because that's the thing I always hear. Well, we could do all this, but it's increasing my cost, and I need to get paid for that. And so there's education around the different payment models that could be out there that providers could go and sell to payers too.
And so it sounds to me like it's you're sort of one, trying to predict the future and respond to it, but at the same time also leaving yourself in a position where you can kind of adjust as the entirety of healthcare adjusts.
It's, right.
This is a real work in progress, I guess. It has to stay a work in progress because you're responding to much sort of larger mega trends, so to speak, in healthcare. Is that kind of a way to kind of bottom line it?
That is exactly how it is. You have to remain nimble in this project is what I found. And I don't think we're going to find one lightning bolt solution that's going to be out there that's going to take care of all this. I think there's a lot of opportunities for providers, and we're going to find what those are and really do a lot of education with the industry. We've been talking value-based care for a long time, and it's time for us to move into that reality.
Got it. And so if people out there in the industry that want to be a part of this project or support it, what do they do?
So, well, first of all, they need to become a home care member.
Because, no kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. Imagine that. So, but yes, I mean, we appreciate the support for all of our advocacy efforts. But, you know, we have our Pay Relations Council. Mm-hmm. It is a closed council because of what we're trying to manage and do.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of subcommittees on there where people can get involved. And so if they have thoughts and ideas around this and you know, want to have some conversations with us around this, absolutely we want to talk to them because we want to hear what the industry needs and be there as a resource for them.
Okay. ahomecare.org. You heard it here.
That's right.
It's a good organization to get involved with. And really the whole Payer Relations Council and the subcommittees, that's been really interesting to watch because that's been that's something that started, what, like 3 years ago? And, mm-hmm. and it's really the work that you and David and everybody on the, you know, the council and these subcommittees, it's just really kind of taken off.
There's plenty of work to be done, and there's a wide range of issues we're tackling. Obviously, this vertical integration is probably the most important.
Okay. Well, Laura, I'm going to thank you for being on the podcast, and I hope that you have... Are you leaving the show today or no?
No, I'm not leaving the show. I'm here in Phoenix until Thursday, so
okay.
We'll be working on the MedTrade Educational Advisory Board and working to put together a great show for fall in Atlanta, so look forward to seeing everybody there as well.
Awesome. All right. Well, I know I'll be there.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
All right. Thanks.
Always great talking to the AA Home Care team, and particularly Laura. She's always got really fascinating projects going that really get to the heart of trends that are impacting provider funding. So great stuff, and thanks very much to Laura. Before I sign off, I want to remind you to please click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening, and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, go over to hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com, and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. And you can also subscribe to the print magazine there as well. You can even get that as a digital flipbook delivered to you. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on all the services, and I'm at Post-Acute News. Lastly, if you have any suggestions or requests, don't be afraid to hit me up via email. I'm at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105 Media. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like vertical integration. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.